Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Dream On podcast. This is your host, Jennifer, and this is the second time I'm recording today's episode. It's a little bit last minute because the first recording, the audio quality was not good enough for me to feel good about releasing it, so I'm gonna redo it. I'm gonna add in a little more stuff than I had the first time because the first time since I recorded it earlier, I didn't have some of the stuff I'm gonna go over today, which is actually great because I have more stuff to cover today than I did before. This is not gonna be a long episode because I actually need to go to bed because I have school. It's a new semester, it's February, and school is in full swing. This is week 4, I believe. And yeah, school's good. As you can hear, I have fully healed from my wisdom tooth surgery. If you don't know about that, because for some reason you didn't listen to the last episode, I had all 4 wisdom teeth removed, which apparently is not something that they just do everywhere, but here in the United States, in general, it's something that you just get done when you hit a certain age instead of keeping them in until they get infected, which I guess they do other places. You just don't get them removed and you wait until you're older and they're infected. No one come after me for that. That was a joke. But like, yeah, here you just get them out when you're young, and it's like a whole thing that everyone does where they like record it and stuff. But I didn't record mine at all because, as I expected, the second I came out from anesthesia, I was totally sober and not high at all. And actually, they had some trouble waking me up from anesthesia because I just was not really waking up. And I can actually remember it all. Like, I remember them trying to wake me up, and I could, like, hear them saying my name and everything. And then I just could not stay awake. Like, I just was knocked right back out. And then they got me in the wheelchair and everything to take me out to the car. And because I was under general anesthesia, I wasn't awake for the procedure. I was fully, like, under for a surgery. And they were, like, taking me out to the car in the wheelchair, and I was having like full full body like shakes and having very much like kind of compulsive like jerking reactions in my limbs, and so it was very sketch. And my mom like researched it later because we were telling her about it, and she said that that can happen sometimes apparently when people get cold while they're under surgery. I guess they wake up and your body just like is so cold and it's trying desperately to warm itself back up, because when you're under anesthesia you can't shiver or anything to warm back up, so you wake up and you don't know that you feel cold because you're still like partially under and everything, but it's just your body frantically trying to wake you up. So that happened to me, and again, I was totally sober the whole time, not high at all, and overall getting my wisdom teeth taken out was not a fun experience. It sucked so bad. I couldn't eat solid food for like 5 days, and it was just horrible. Like, I lost a few pounds because I just was not eating. It was just no fun at all. But I'm so glad that I got it done. I'm so glad it's over. And now I won't have to get my teeth pulled when I'm like 40 or whatever and they're all infected or something and inflamed. Great stuff. Also, I got CPR certified, which is wonderful. I've been meaning to get that done for a while, and I got that done at work. In terms of school, I have one professor that I'm not the biggest fan of, but all my classes are good. I think it'll be fine. And that one professor, I'm sitting around a few people who don't really like him either. So in our little group that we're sitting in, all the people around me have decided that their little conspiracy theory, for fun of course, is that our professor is a crack addict because he takes at least 10 minutes every class period to talk about drugs and his thoughts on them, especially crack. So that's our little fun theory. It keeps class very interesting, but you know, that's where I'm at right now in life and school and everything. So things are good. And now I want to get to a couple of Q&A questions that I got just to kind of warm us up in the episode, and then I'm going to step into the second half of this episode and talk about the sleep study that I'm doing on myself. I'm just like tracking my sleep, and I'm going to go over the results on the podcast and tell you what I think and kind of analyze everything and point stuff out and For context, I'm using a Fitbit that's like a few years old, and it tracks like your heart rate while you're sleeping so that it can supposedly tell which stages of sleep you're in based on your heart rate and also based on how much you move around in your sleep. So I'm tracking all that stuff at night, and I'm gonna try to get like a full month of data so that I can look at it and analyze it and then get back to you guys about the results and what I think about all that stuff. But that's in the future because I just started that and I only have like not even a week of data. But it's gonna be cool at the end. I'll just go over like some of the preliminary results after I go over these Q&A questions. So let's get started on those. First off, we have a couple questions that I got from the most recent episode, and these are questions that people submitted on Spotify. So thank you so much to the people who submitted questions on Spotify. The first one is, if you write down your nightmares in detail in your dream journal, will that increase the chance of having bad dreams because you think about it more? To me, I think that the answer to this question is yes, because I think that by focusing on your nightmares and becoming fixated on them in a way, and even just replaying them in your mind, you create a focus on them just in kind of just like in your mind, right? Like in your processing of your dreams and everything. And for me, I think that it makes them almost like a more real part of your entire dreamscape. Whereas I think that if you let your nightmares go, then you're essentially discouraging them from coming back again because you're not giving them any attention. It's like, it's the same, it's really not at all, but I'm gonna say this anyway because I think it's funny. It's the same principle as the idea of the fact that when your toddler is throwing a tantrum, you're supposed to just totally ignore them until they stop, because if you pay attention to them while they're throwing a tantrum, then they'll learn that they're getting rewarded for that behavior. And I am applying that exact same theory to nightmares, because when you focus on nightmares, you are giving them power, and essentially you are creating a fixation in your mind on the nightmare, even if maybe you don't think that that's what you're doing. And obviously this doesn't apply in all cases. Like if you are trying to analyze your nightmares and maybe get to the bottom of why you're having them, like it's a recurring nightmare or you just have a lot of nightmares, I think that that's different. But for me personally, I don't write down nightmares. And just as an example, like for the last 7-ish days, I've actually been having a lot of nightmares. And I'll go over this more when I talk about like the overall sleep study that I'm doing on myself. But the nightmares that I've been having have been really like violent and extremely graphic and bloody. And I've been having all these dreams where I'm extremely angry, like cursing people out. It's been really crazy. And I was like laughing the other day because I just got my period for the first time in 3 months. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, of course that was what would happen. Like, it's hilarious that I was genuinely dreaming about, like, a bloody, like, death. And of course that's what happened, right? But, you know, like, I'm glad that I didn't decide to write down all those nightmares and try to give them some deep meaning when it's, like, obviously there wasn't a deep meaning. It's just that my hormones were, like, spiking. So, you know, stuff like that. Like, I tend to not give nightmares too much thought. I just kind of let them go. And that's not the solution for everyone, but for me, that's how I deal with it. So, yeah. Now, moving on to the next question from Spotify, we have, hey, I'm wondering if I'm the only one who maps out my recurring places in my dreams. This is a question that I cannot answer because I don't know what you guys do. I don't know if there are other people who map out their recurring dreams. I used to map them out when I was a kid because I had such a specific dreamscape and I could really connect all the locations that I dreamed about, and I had a very clear picture in my mind of what my dream world looked like, you know? And I never actually put it on paper, but I did think about doing that several times, and I do wish that I had done that back then, because now I don't think I could recreate it in the same way just because it's been so long, and I'm sure that I would put things in the wrong spot at this point. But if I had to guess, I would say, like, definitely people also map out their dreamscapes as well. And the reason I say that is because, you know, I used to think that I was the only one that had recurring dream characters who weren't real. And obviously that's not true. I've had a lot of people reach out to me because of this podcast and tell me about their recurring characters and their recurring locations. So if I had to guess, I am like 100% sure pretty much that other people have done this as well, especially because I like almost did it when I was a kid, you know? So I am sure you're not alone, and it is a very cool thing. So guys, if you have maps of your dreamscapes, actually, if you send them to me, I will post them on the podcast Instagram. So send them in. I'm telling you, I have like a podcast email you could send them to. You could DM me on Instagram. There are a few different ways to get in touch with me. So pick one, send them in. I will post them. I'm promising that right now. Up next, I am beginning with the questions that people submitted on Instagram. Thank you so much to everyone who submitted questions. I always get really, really good questions from the Instagram crowd. So, starting with the question, have you ever had a scary lucid dream? Definitely yes. And actually, this is great that this came up right now, because last night I was having the most chaotic sleep of my life. And the reason is because I slept in pretty late today. Normally I've been waking up at like 8 a.m. naturally. That's the sleep schedule I'm on right now. And this morning I ended up sleeping in until 9. So there was like a long period right there where I think I was kind of going in and out of dreams, and it was all very unstable and weird. And so I kept having all these dreams where I would be doing something and then all of a sudden I'd be like, what is wrong here? Like, something is different and something isn't right. And then all of a sudden I'd be like, oh, it's a dream. And then a few seconds later, it would be like, boom, gone, I'm asleep, like, everything's done. And then then a few minutes later, I'd be somewhere else doing something else. And then I'd realize, oh, this is not right. What's wrong here? And then I would realize again that it was a dream. And then a few minutes later, it would fizzle out again. And it was just a very weird process. And I wouldn't probably describe those as being like scary lucid dreams necessarily, but they were definitely disorienting and very odd, because I had a couple where I was just lucid and like blind because everything was kind of going in and out of focus so bad. So there are definitely experiences that you can have while you're lucid, even just related to the stability of the dream, that could be maybe a little bit disconcerting or just like a little odd to experience. And for some people that could be quite anxiety inducing, I'm sure. For me, it wasn't today, because I've had lots of those experiences in the past just from the amount of time I've spent doing lucid dreaming stuff. But in terms of in-dream scariness, meeting Asher for the first time when I was a kid was really, really scary, because I had never had a dream character tell me before that, like, yeah, this is a dream and I'm not real and, you know, none of this is real. And because before that I had never had any dream characters agree with me and understand that. So that probably was the most deeply disturbing thing I've ever had happen to me in a dream. So I don't know if anything could ever beat that, to be honest with you, because it just came out of nowhere and it was really so scary. So as kind of a refresher for those of you who maybe don't remember, because it's been a while since I talked about that, when I was in sixth grade and I had only recently started kind of getting into noticing my own lucid dreaming and all the stuff I would do in those, because I've always lucid dreamed, I was just kind of getting into it, like for real for the first time, and trying to write down my cool dreams that I had. And I had this dream where it was at the end of a very long dream, and at the end of the dream I was at my middle school out on the blacktop, and everyone was like running around playing and stuff because it was recess, and I was sitting out there flying, and this dude came up to me who I had met way earlier in the dream. And for context, for those of you who don't know, it's pretty unusual for a thread of plot to hold up for that long if it goes away in a dream, because I had not seen him in quite some time and the plot of the dream had shifted several times, and then all of a sudden he came back. And he had challenged me earlier in the dream to, like, it was, like, to, like, help him open this book. It was, like, a magic whatever, like, a magic ritual. And he wanted me to, like, help him open the book. And somehow he was able to come back at the end of the dream and, like, fulfill that challenge, you know, and be like, hey, like, help me. And I was already weirded out by that because I didn't expect to see him again. I didn't think he'd come back. And he, like, sat down on the ground and, like, put this book down on the ground. And I was, like, messing around, just, like, floating off the ground, I think, at this point. And he like, put the book on the ground, and then he said, oh, by the way, without looking up, he said, you can't use your lucid dreaming magic for this. And I was like, what? like, what do you mean? Like, how do you know about that? And he just knew. He just knew inherently that none of this was real. And then before he left, he, like, laughed, and he was like, oh, like, I'll see you again, dreamer. And then he just left, and I was like, what the heck just happened? And I woke up, and I was so freaked out about it, and I genuinely thought about that for, like, months. Like, I was terrified. I kept thinking that I would have another dream and just see that dude again. And now I do, but now it's been a long time since I've seen him in a dream, so I always think, though, that, like, oh, maybe he's gone forever, and then all of a sudden he's, like, there as a background character or something, you know, and I'll see him for, like, 5 seconds, and then he's just gone, and I'm like, oh. And background character isn't really an accurate descriptor. I mean, like, a side character. Like, he'll be there for a minute, and I'll be like, oh, like, you're familiar. And in the dream, I honestly don't really recognize him in dream very often. I'll just be like, oh, like, a familiar person. And then I'll wake up and be like, gee, I wonder why he was so familiar. It's almost like he's been in my dreams since I was, like, 10. So, all fun stuff, all good things. That was a long, beautiful tangent. Now, I have another question that I'm going to answer, and then I'll leave the rest of these for next week's episode. Got any lucid dreaming book recommendations, fiction or nonfiction? This is another question that I was so happy to see here because I specifically was able to find this book that I've been looking for so long because it's a book that I read, like, in, I don't even know if it was middle school, but it was this fictional book that I read. I found it again. It is by the author Robert Scanlon. And I believe that it was a trilogy, and the second book is called, oh no, yeah, this is the first book. It's called Serena's Nightmare, and it's the first book in the Dreamer Chronicles series, and I cannot tell you, like, if it's good or not, because I read it so long ago, but I did really enjoy it when I read it, and I do think, now that I'm, like, thinking back, I think it was in middle school that I read it, so maybe, like, 7th grade, perhaps a little younger than that, maybe, like, 6th grade, but I really liked it when I read it as a kid, so, you know, do whatever you want with that. Who knows how reliable my tastes were, but I really liked it, and it was about this girl who had, like, a really vivid and, like, crazy dream world, and I don't know how much is even in, like, the book description, because I don't want to, like, spoil anything, but there's, like, this whole, like, crazy stuff that happens, you know, and, like, it's one of those books where, like, reality and, like, fiction and, like, other worlds is kind of, like, you know, it's all that stuff. So I don't want to, like, reveal too much because it's all coming back to me now, but I really liked it, and I thought the villain was really scary, so it was good. But fair warning, I did not really like how it ended when I read it. Like, it wasn't a bad ending, but I thought that it was kind of anticlimactic at the end, and I did wish when I finished the trilogy that it had ended differently. However, from what I remember, I would probably still recommend reading it, and you know what would be fun? Maybe we could do, like, a podcast read-along. So if you're interested in that, do let me know. I will put something on this episode for you to respond, and you should also respond to whether or not you have ever mapped your dream world. If you have, just put all that stuff in your reactions to this. And if it's on Spotify, there's like a reaction box and you can type it in. So it'll be good. And if not, you can just comment on the Instagram post when I post this episode's post. So let me know. Give me all the feedback for this one. But yeah, I really liked the book and I would recommend it, even though I don't know if it's good, because that was one of the few books that I read where it was about dreams and kind of like lucid dreaming a little bit, and it was good enough that I was like, oh yeah, I enjoy this as someone who actually lucid dreams, which is pretty crazy because there's a lot of weird stuff out there on lucid dreaming. Which reminds me that in the future, I actually want to do an episode covering, in like a casual way, I just want to like cover how some cults approach lucid dreaming, because it's very interesting that there are so many cults out there who talk about lucid dreaming in very specific and disturbing ways, and they use it quite oddly, I suppose, from a real world standpoint. So I've been working on that kind of episode, but there's like a specific podcast episode that I still need to listen to, and I need to do more research for it, but I've been working on that one for a while. And also, the video episode. I am still going to make my first video episode, but I have gotten like a little crazy about like my framing and everything for it, because I want it to look really nice and I want it to be really good. So I think that that might take a while, because I'm just working really hard on making it perfect the first time. And I know that my first video episode probably won't be perfect, and I'll still look back on it and be like, wow, I could have done so much better. But I'm just getting like a little bit perfectionist-y about it. So I'm working on it. I will fix it. I will make it good. And then it will come out this year. I'm still working on it. So it hasn't been forgotten, and I am really excited to do it. I'm just working really hard to make it really good so I can be proud of it when it comes out and I can be excited about it. So it'll be nice. It'll be awesome. But yes, now we can move into talking a little bit more about the sleep study that I'm going to do. So I already explained how I'm working with the Fitbit that I have, and I'm just tracking my sleep at night. I did want to say that so far I have 8 days that I can use. So that's actually more than I thought. But only 5 of those are right in a row, so I will probably disregard those first few. But in general, I hit pretty much like the averages of all the like times that you're supposed to get for each sleep stage, in my night's sleep. Like, I get what they consider to be like good sleep most of the time. But I don't have anything that's like unusual. I think that for the purposes of lucid dreaming and dream journaling and everything, I am going to try really hard to be very consistent at my journaling for this time, because I think it'll be interesting to track where the REM is in these studies compared to like how much of my dreams I remember and how vivid they are and everything. And then using this, I'll actually be able to tell how long the dreams really are, like based on the heart rate. And I'll be able to see if that is able to line up with my accuracy of guessing and estimating how long I think each dream is. And I am really curious to see how that lines up, because I do a lot of estimating. I'm like, oh, I think this dream was half an hour long, and you know, all that stuff. You guys have heard me say that before, but now we're going to find out if I'm actually accurate about that. So very exciting. I think it'll be fun to do, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the preliminary results. So most of the time, my normal is that I go to sleep and I go right into a deep sleep, which is normal for everyone. And then I normally have like a couple quite long periods of deep sleep right when I go to sleep. And then I've got like a ton of REM. Normally I'll wake up somewhere in there at some point, and then go back to sleep. And then I tend to have one more deep sleep spike right before I wake up at some point. And I think that that's one of the reasons that I really, really hate using alarms and stuff in the morning, because it's kind of inevitable that it will hit that deep sleep point, and then I just feel like sick and groggy all day, which is the worst. I am someone that pretty much always wakes up before my alarm, and sometimes that's like half an hour before, sometimes it's 2 minutes before, but I actually cannot even tell you the last time I woke up to an alarm, and that's at any time. Like, if right now, right, my normal wake time is 8 a.m., but tomorrow, if I set an alarm for 6 a.m., it's very likely that I would still wake up at, like, 5:40 or something. Like, I tend to wake up before the alarm, even if it's super early, because I don't know. I guess I'm good at it. It's a skill. I'll put it on my resume. But, yeah, it's going to be really interesting, and I'm getting better at journaling. And, actually, I need to put in the journal, like, right now before I go to bed, because it's late right now. I need to put in the journal about last night, about, like, my frantic lucid dreams just over and over again. And actually in my dream last night as well, I, like, killed someone very violently, and that was weird for me. But it wasn't, like, angry, it was just, like, brutal, and that's weird for me as well. That's very unusual. I'm just thinking about it, and it's yikes. And in the dream, it wasn't really bad, because, like, I think part of me knew that, like, it wasn't real, so I wasn't very concerned about it. But now that I'm waking up, I'm like, ew, that's not good. All good stuff, all good things. And I think I'm gonna stop the episode. Oh, no, okay. I remembered what I wanted to do. Guys, it's time to talk about the country rankings of the listeners, okay? Let's get into this real quick. Okay, guys, so 50% of you, specifically 50.1% of you, are listening on Spotify, and 22% of you are listening on Apple Podcasts, 5.9% are listening on CastBox, and 5.6% are listening on Google Podcasts. I don't think I've ever heard of CastBox before, but I guess now I need to look up what the heck that platform is. Now, geographic location, all right? This is like a fan favorite to go over. 47% are listening from the United States. So I'm pretty sure that means that my American audience is relatively getting smaller compared to the global audience. But I don't remember, and I'm just saying that based on nothing. 14% are listening from California, from within that United States crowd. 8% are listening from Texas, and 4% is split up in a ton of different ways. 4% of the audience is in Pennsylvania and Washington and New York and Florida and Michigan and Georgia and Arizona. Each of those states has 4% of the audience. And you know what? It's so stupid. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make that joke. You guys will know what? I'm going to do it. Whenever I see the name for, like, the state of Georgia specifically, I cannot believe I'm about to say this on air and embarrass myself forever. I'm sorry to my future self listening back to this, but whenever I, like, see, like, the state of Georgia, I'm always like, Georgia. Because you say it so funny. They're like, oh, Georgia. I love Georgia. Gender demographics of the podcast, to kind of get sidetracked for a second from the location, I always find them, like, very odd, because I think that just in general there are more men who are openly interested in lucid dreaming than there are women. So I think that because of my first few episodes that get way more listens than all the other ones, like the How to Lucid Dream episodes, I think that those attract more men than women, just because more men are interested in this in general. So my male audience is 57%, and then my female audience is 40%. Non-binary is 1%, and not specified is 1.3%. And to remind you guys, this is all, like, Spotify data, so if Spotify doesn't have your data, then I don't either. And I also don't have, like, specific people's data. It's just a general user information. And looking at the age demographics, 28 to 34 is now 22% of my listeners, 19% is 23 to 27, 20% is 18 to 22. All y'all are in college with me. Like, we're in this together. Unless you're not in college, which is totally fine, too. And 0 to 17 is 11%. So we got a lot of minors listening as well. Shout out to the minors out there. Y'all still listening. And going up to, like, the upper half of the age range, we have 35 to 44% is 14% of the audience. 45 to 59 is 11%. And 60 plus is 3% of the audience. So shout out to everyone 60 plus. I truly do not understand. Oh no, sorry, I got sidetracked. My friend is from El Salvador, and I thought I had listens from there, but I don't at all. So false alarm on there. I forgot what I was saying, so I'm moving on back to the locations, to what everyone really cares about, which is the UK versus Canada versus Germany, who are really fighting it out, and they're always fighting it out for those top three slots under USA. The UK and Canada are both tied up at 7% right now. You guys have 7% of the listeners, each of you. And Germany is at 6%. So Germany is always fighting for that slot with the other two. I'm always telling you guys that you all need to step it up. And you have, for sure. All of you have. I think my US proportion is shrinking, but I need you to keep doing that, guys. Like, I need that from you. Australia and the Netherlands are battling it out for 4%. They are both at 4%. India is at 2%. Belgium is at 1%. France is at 1%. Sweden, 1%. Spain, 1%. Israel, 1%. Switzerland, 1%. And we have so many others. Czech Republic, 1%. And everywhere else is at less than 1%. So those are the listener demographics. But you guys know I always get, like, sidetracked looking at these because I think about, like, all the different accents that everyone have who listen, and it just, like, gets me excited because I like how accents sound, in case you haven't caught on, like, listening, because I talk about it all the time. But I just think they're fun, and, like, I think that they're, like, so cute. It's so cute that everyone speaks differently everywhere. It's just, it's adorable. But too many sidetracks means I need to stop and I need to end the episode and go write down my stuff in my journal. So I think this has been, like, a fun little casual episode, and next time I'll have a little more sleep data to go over and I'll finish the Q&A. And of course you can always submit more Q&A episodes on, or more Q&A, like, questions on this episode and, like, you know, future episodes in the description, and also via Instagram, send them to me. I'm always checking for more questions and episode requests and all that stuff. So I won't keep you all too long. I won't keep myself sitting here for too much longer. Thank you all so much for listening. Keep your accents. I don't like it when people try to get rid of them because I think they're super cute and I think they make everyone unique, which is not bad. So goodbye, good night, good day, all that stuff, and dream on.